You're listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the Auto D Show here on Dave Pratt's Star Worldwide Networks, broadcasting from high above Camelback Road in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. I am your host, Otto Daniolo, and this evening my guest is vocalist Eric King, who you can see pretty much every Sunday evening at Blue Martini in Scottsdale. We'll be talking about that with his group Reminisce. We'll also be talking about his career on stage, his musical family, his upcoming projects. Really right from where it started in the beginning in church. And all of that's going to come up right after this first cut from the Fervor Records catalog called Liven Up by Kubi Koo here on the Auto D Show. Check it out.
Listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
And that was Liven Up by Kubi Koo here on the Auto D Show, which is brought to you tonight in part by my good friends at Fervor Records, and also by TheRecordingArtist.com, where every Wednesday evening I record bands live online while you watch. You can even participate via live chat if you want to. To learn more, visit TheRecordingArtist.com, and be sure to check out our companion show on Amazon Prime called The Recording Artist. It's pretty cool. And speaking of cool, for the first show of the new year, tonight's guest is a vocalist extraordinaire and all-around good guy, Eric King. Hey, Eric, welcome to the show.
Otto, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for kicking off the new year.
Yes,
and
appreciate it.
And speaking of that, let's welcome everybody to 2022 that's listening. Wow, we thought 2020 was bad, and we're happy to get into 2021. It seemed like it was just as stressful and just as much trouble. How was it for you last year?
It was a little, you know what, actually the pandemic was actually peaceful for me, honestly, I have to say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was working like 7 days a week.
You needed singing. The break.
Yes. So I was actually able to relax and chill and aside the pandemic and everything right. going on, but it was peaceful. I needed that.
Yeah.
I can kind of gather my head and thoughts and everything, so it actually helped me out a lot.
Well, you know, you just mentioned you were playing all the time. You were a very, very busy guy, very sought after in a number of projects. And did you just jump right back into that? Are you just a busy guy again, or did you learn anything from the year off?
I'd like to say I did learn something, yeah. but I'd say I learned how to say no.
Okay.
I learned how to say no, because I didn't have a no filter at all.
Yeah.
You know, I would do two to three gigs in one day sometimes, and I don't know how my voice held up, but it did for whatever reason. But so I learned how to say no a little bit. I still say yes if I can get it in there, if it works for me. But I'm learning to rest a lot more, especially getting older and everything. So I'm learning to rest a little bit more and take my time with things. So,
you know, we were chatting just before we went live about the break in the pandemic a little bit, and about how all of a sudden bedtime became 9 o'clock.
Yes.
You know, but for an entertainer, bedtime's not 9 o'clock.
Not 9 o'clock at all.
So that shift back had to be a little crazy again.
Because, you know, as an entertainer, you're done maybe with a gig 1, 2 o'clock, maybe 12 o'clock sometimes. Then you have to go home and you have to actually wind down.
Right.
So you're not getting to bed until about 3:30-ish or whatever.
Yeah, and if it's not a house gig, at the end of the gig, you're tearing gear, you're packing up, you're driving home, you're unpacking gear.
Yes.
Then you wind down. It's
then
almost
you
like
down.
It takes all that time just to get ready to relax again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Of course, I run sound as well, certified audio engineer. Graduated from the conservatory, Recording Arts and Sciences.
I recognize that. I saw that, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I do that. But for the most part, as a singer, all I have to do is pack up my mic and I can get out of there majority of the time. So
now, do you now that you've broached that subject, and now you're a sound man too, let's dive into that for a second.
Okay.
Do you find that you have to do that for your own bands while you're doing shows, or do you run sound for other groups when you're not on stage?
I find I have to do it majority of the time for my band when we're doing shows, when it's not at, you know, established places.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm doing my Sunday gig or my Friday gig, I don't have to worry about it. Got great sound guys to take care of that. So, but I actually enjoy it. I love it when I can actually do it. But you have this little piece of you that wants to get up on stage and singing at the same time.
Yeah, because they're kind of opposite sides of the mind.
It is. It is. You know, on the other side of the window, as they call it. So, but yeah, I enjoy actually both sides of it. I enjoy the recording side, the sound part of it, and I record, of course, the singing part of it as well. Yes,
we mentioned that you're in a lot of bands, so let's just let's kind of go down the list.
Okay.
In fact, currently working groups.
Okay, currently working groups.
Yeah,
of course, two groups that I manage right now is the Reminisce Band, the Eclectic Rhythm, and the other bands that I frequent is the Neon Band. We have Shining Star. Sometimes I hit with, and it actually varies, because I've been doing, I would get people call me to help out or sing with the JJ's band, or I'm singing with, who else did I say? I mean, I know I said, well, Treja Vu was one of the bands as well.
Right.
And,
great lineup.
Yes. Silhouette is one of the bands as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then what about Static?
Static actually is my first band that I ever started gigging with.
OK. Okay.
So that's like one of the biggest bands, or, you know, most important bands that I started out with or deal with. So
tell me how you got that into that project, or how that project started.
Crazy story. They used to actually have a band called 602 Rising, Dominic Amato, and they would play at Oscar Taylor's, OT's, on 24th Street and Camelback.
Okay.
And I would go, and Giovanni Amato would actually be singing.
Right.
I actually just stepped in and started singing background with them. I would bring my own mic. I learned the songs on my own. Whatever songs that they play, I never asked for anything.
Right.
I just started doing it on my own.
Right.
And I would pick up here and there, and when he would maybe miss a part or something, I would jump right in and start to sing it. And it got to the point where Dominic Amato, he had the band called Static that he was the manager of, that he owned, and he just asked me to join the band. And I actually started out as the hype man in the band.
Oh, cool.
Of Static, you know, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's one of my traits. I'm an MC as well, so I actually do that as well on the top of it. But, it started with Static at Oscar Taylor's over there. I got asked there, and the rest was history after that.
Mm-hmm. Now, who else was in that group when, if you recall, when you first started with them?
602 Rising, okay, or Static. So in Static Band, when I got in, there was, of course, Dominic Amato was leading the way. My brother Ira King was on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Borman was on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
You had D-Bass was on the low end on the bass. And you had Giovanni Amato. You also had Dina Lopez was up singing as well as myself. And we had Kendall Gilder on the guitar.
Uh-huh.
So it was a pretty good band.
Yeah, all those guys are superstars. You know?
Yes.
In fact, half the band has been on tour with Sister Sledge over the years, on and off, you know, different incarnations too. Great players. I mean, I got to tell you, I have Ira written down as one of the guys just to talk about. So since you mentioned him, I've recorded him in my studio a number of times.
Yes.
But I don't know the right way to say it, but he's a badass.
You know? You're right.
I don't want to say something I can't say online, but there's not a time you mic up his drum kit and he plays that just the sound of the kit, the way he plays, takes your breath away. It stops you. You know,
absolutely.
You can't ignore it. When you do a sound check, you can't ignore it. You got to go, holy shit, that's not that play. I mean, Ira just has that pop and rhythm and groove that's pretty, it's just pretty undeniable.
Crazy thing is, he was actually my 10th cycle project at the Crass.
Yeah.
And I actually mic'd up the drums, recorded him on the SSL out there.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. It was crazy because everybody stopped what they were doing. They came in to hear him.
Yeah.
He stayed for 13 minutes. His levels never changed.
Yeah.
He stayed for 13 minutes and just went in. Up until then, all they heard was Dawell, which he's a great drummer.
Yeah.
Great guy and everything.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I knew him actually before then, but to bring Ira in there so they could meet him and see it, man. And he's so humble.
Yeah.
And I like to say, I don't say this because he's my brother. I say this because he's actually, like you said, a badass. He's great. He's a humble guy and somebody who I really look up to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's pretty incredible. And you also just mentioned Dawell Davis.
Yes.
I hadn't seen him in years. Ran into him a couple of weeks ago, about maybe 3 weeks ago, down at Cock and Tails, which is the new place to be on Tuesday nights
where I've heard
everybody hangs out.
I still got to get over there.
It's pretty amazing. So you end up walking in the room, and it's like a family reunion because you know everyone in the place from some time in your musical life in town. You know, it's really become a kind of a cool thing. But Dawell's one of the standard guys who's always, you know, around playing.
Absolutely.
And then, you know who? You know when we were talking about Ira, something that made me think of is, you know, the name John Paris. John plays with Earth, Wind, and Fire. I think he's still playing with Earth, Wind, and Fire. But he got that gig when he was working with me at Chiton Studios on a record. Is when he got the phone call because I had already hired him to be working on a record, and so they said, "Hey, can you come out?" This is a great story. I guess I'm mentioning it because I put John and Ira. They're in a very similar category. John's unbelievable.
Yes,
and his work ethic is unbelievable, and he does a 20-minute back then he was doing a 20-minute warm-up with his wrists before a show and a 20-minute cool down with his wrists after a show, and he would do he would do 100 push-ups every day, even in groups. He would just drop to the floor and do 20, and he'd do that at least 5 times through a day. Wow. He would run 10 flights of stairs every day, even if he's on the road, with his hands behind his back. And these are just the different things he brought into his life to keep himself in shape and keep his system fit to play. Because he said, man, I did a show one time, and at the end of this long song, the end of a 3-hour show, I was winded. And when that happened, I decided that was never going to happen again.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he just went to work. But just to finish that story, when he got signed with Earth, Wind & Fire, they said, you know, can you be out here on Tuesday? Well, we were all done. We were going to be done, no problem. So they sent him a CD. And so he's sitting there playing, listening to the CD, banging on his lap while we're working on another record in the control room. Mm-hmm. So I asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm just learning the show. And I said, okay, cool. When are you guys going to rehearse? He says, oh, we're not going to rehearse. I'm going on to the tour on Tuesday without a rehearsal. Yeah. He's like,
yes.
At this level, it's like, you know, I already know all the songs. I grew up with them. I just have to learn their structure, what they do for the show.
Absolutely.
So the first time he played with these guys was on tour, you know? And from my knowledge, he hasn't left. He's been with them ever since. So
that's that professionalism. You have to be ready to go at all times.
Yeah, and that
sometimes
good.
You won't get that rehearsal. You won't get that time to actually gel with them until you get on stage.
Yeah,
I've been there, done that. So I understand.
Well, and Ira knows it too, man. I've seen video of him playing in front of 200,000 people outside for a festival in Europe, and you can't shy away from that stuff.
Not at all. Not at all. You just have to
be ready.
It's
just like another day in the office. Yeah, you just got to be ready to go. Well, let's get back to you again. We could talk about a lot of people in your life because you're surrounded by incredibly talented people.
Absolutely.
Your whole family, Cecilia as well.
Yes.
She is actually fronting one of the groups you're playing with, right?
She is, in Reminisce, yes.
Okay, another great singer and another part of the family, which is very, very cool.
Yes, it is.
Did you guys all start in church when you were growing up?
We did. We kind of had no choice. My grandmother played the drums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she would, I remember we would go to her church, my grandfather's church, and she would be on the drums when they didn't have a drummer. So music was always in our family. My mom and her sisters, they had a little group together. But my dad sang. He had a voice like Sam Cooke.
Okay.
And my mom was a first soprano. So we were kind of embedded. It was just born into this music thing. So we would do actually family songs at the church. My mom was the soloist of the year, a soloist at the church. My sister, Celia, was over the choir.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I turned 12, I was in the choir and ready to go. And of course, Ira was on the drums at the time. So we were always into music, and church kind of molded and made us into what we were, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love that foundation that we have because it built us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So I love. Yeah, yeah.
And do you still perform a lot in church?
Not as much. I actually took a break from there, November and December, but I'm headed back this month back into church to sing because I've been doing a lot more outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I try to keep my voice as much as possible, but I still do like to go in and minister and worship at church as well. So, yeah, I'll be back actually this Sunday.
Cool. And well, welcome back.
Thank you.
I know a lot of musicians in town, they really like those Sunday gigs because they're real regular.
Absolutely.
They're not as particularly demanding as a lot of other gigs and a little more forgiving.
Normally laid back. Yeah. Yeah.
And usually they pay well.
Yes.
So, as far as the house bands go. So that's kind of great. Anytime a musician can have a steady gig, it's worth having.
Absolutely. It's not always the easiest, especially coming from a Saturday night gig.
Right.
Having to be there maybe 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning,
But you see, what I run into is I'll talk to somebody and say, hey, I've got a gig and I want you to play Saturday night in New Mexico. And they're like, oh, I can't, because then I'm going to lose my first two Sunday services.
Right.
And so they want to get paid for 3 gigs they're going to lose, And it's like, oh, wow, that's tough.
Well, you think about it like this. That's a consistent gig on a regular.
Man,
you asked me to come for one gig.
Exactly.
It's like, I would love to be there.
Exactly.
I've actually done a Saturday night gig in New Mexico and then drove back to be at church 7 a.m.
Yeah, we've done that because somebody in the bus needed to get back home. Like, are you kidding me? You couldn't get a sub. We all have to ride all the way back tonight.
Right.
That's a long drive.
Yes, it is. But you do what you have to do. You sacrifice for the music.
Yeah, you really do.
I was thinking about it the other day. It's kind of like sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the greats like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. I love Kobe Bryant. But they sacrifice everything they do. And it's like everything that they've done, when they get in that mode and when they're on that court, It's the same thing that we do as musicians.
Yeah.
We get in that mode and we're there. So we sacrifice a lot of things for what we love.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So.
And when you're there, you know, the interesting thing, you talk about those guys in sports. When they were there, they never aimed at good enough. Good enough was never the goal.
Right.
The goal was the best you could possibly be in Absolutely. Any given moment. And I think that that's what I find, too, in performing is that You're always just trying to kill it. You're always just trying to kill it, you
always.
Know. And so there's such an adrenaline pump by the time you're done because it is such a workout, really. You know,
it is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I find it. You know, I do a lot of gigs sometimes. So sometimes I lose my voice.
Yeah.
You know, so it's harder and it's frustrating and disappointing when I can't give that show and entertain the people the way I really want to give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to give it to them night after night.
Yeah.
You really do. It's like you said, you're looking for perfection.
Yeah.
Or going as far as you can above that. So, yeah, that's that skill. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Well, listen, you know, let's get back to some of these bands because, as we mentioned before, you have a bunch of different groups. But maybe somebody might go, why so many different groups? Why can't one group go do all these shows? So, for example, Eclectic Rhythm. Tell me what's different about that group than, say, Reminisce?
Eclectic Rhythm was actually started myself and a friend of mine, Rhonda Wilson. We started that band back in 2018.
Okay.
It was just something that we wanted to be able to showcase different music that wasn't being played and, you know, eclectic, be rock, country, R&B, top 40, but it would be some of the stuff that you didn't hear. You normally hear some certain Michael Jackson tunes or you hear right. those things, but we wanted to showcase some of the tunes that they weren't really showcasing out there.
Maybe they weren't the singles on the records,
right.
but still the artists you knew.
And they were still great and badass songs.
Can you give me a couple cuts that band does that you really...
Adventures of a Lifetime by Coldplay.
Okay.
I love doing that. Oh, my cool. God. I love doing that. But you don't hear that in a lot of these bands nowadays.
Sure.
So I we actually also incorporated rap into mm-hmm. there. So we do some... we do some Drake, God's Plan, or, you know, we'll do some Jay-Z. We do Give It to Me,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, things like that. Just stuff that is just refreshing to have something different and new,
mm-hmm.
inviting, you know, from what we normally would do.
So where can somebody see that act?
Eclectic Rhythm is normal. We do different corporate gigs, but we do a lot of Saturday night gigs and Friday night gigs at Blue Martini.
Okay.
As well, so that's one of the main places we do it.
So that's kind of your like a home spot. Then you're there Friday and Saturday with these guys. Sometimes you're there yes. on Sundays with Reminisce, mm-hmm. right?
I'm there pretty much every Friday night with Neon Band,
okay.
and of course Sunday nights with Reminisce Band. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now Shining Star is a whole different band.
Oh yes.
Of course, no, that's not a band you started.
No. No,
but
no.
Do you go out with them once in a while, or what's how do you get involved?
Yes, every once in a while. It's for me. It's like first come, first serve. Whoever calls me first, that's who I go with.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, when Jody will hit me up and see if I can hit with them for a wedding or something, and if I'm able to do it, I'm out there. Mm-hmm. I go because I love singing with Jody. Oh
yeah.
My gosh,
great singer,
great singer.
Yeah.
And then just the band, I love it because I'm getting different vibes from different bands. So Shining Star has a vibe yeah. all. By themselves, so
yeah,
I love that type of vibe as well. So yeah, it's fun and exciting to hit with Shining Star anytime that I can.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine you take something away from all of that that you bring back to your own stuff. You know,
I do. A lot of things that I take from Shining Star Band is actually the moves, dance moves that they.
Oh
have.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
Because you know we do some dance moves in my other bands, but they're more. Formed it or organized and choreographed,
right?
You know, so I love that part of it. So Jody has that on lock, and it was crazy because I had to learn it on the fly.
Right,
we were just on it. She's like, "Okay, do this, do that, turn around, jump up and down, and then okay, there you go." And then we're like, "Oh crap!" So I'm learning it.
Wow!
But I was able to learn it like right on the fly, and I just went right in with them on the dance move. So
that's
it was
cool.
fun. Yeah.
Now is Mario usually playing bass with them when they're out?
Mario is playing bass and MD okay. in the band and everything. Okay. So he's handling everything.
Yeah, he's pretty incredible too.
Oh, Mario's best. Yeah. I love Mario.
Yeah, real yeah. sweetheart.
Yes.
So you know what a cool band to be a part of, and so you know now that we're on to bass players, I understand that you're a bass player as well.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
the first instrument you ever picked up or?
Actually, no.
Okay.
First instrument I've ever picked up was the drums. Mm-hmm. So I, you know,
because of your grandmother?
Yeah, more. I think it was more because of my brother.
Okay.
Because of Ira.
She'd sit on his kit because he had a set?
Yeah, but I played it at church when he wasn't able to play.
Okay.
Or, you know, we were growing up, he would have to work on Sunday nights, so I would go and play at the church
on
Sunday.
Was it competition for you?
No, I just wanted to play. Okay. I just loved instruments. I just loved the music part of it.
Yeah.
And whatever I can contribute to it, that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
We actually didn't have a bass player at the church. And we had, I mean, it was so full in there, you would think that we had a bass player, a guitar player. No, we didn't have anybody. We had a guitar, we had a drummer, we had a piano player, and mm-hmm. an organist. Mm-hmm. That's it. So we didn't have a bass player. And I said, you know what? I really want to pick that up. I really want to help out. So I went and bought a 4-string Rogue Red. Still have it.
All right.
And a couple of the first tunes I ever learned, I self-taught, it was Barney Miller's theme song.
Okay, wow, that's tough. To
yeah, that was okay. That and Taxi.
Okay, cool.
So TV. Those were the first two songs that I actually learned on the bass.
That's funny.
Yes, yes.
So when's the last time you pulled out your bass to play?
I'm going to say it's been about 10 years.
Been a while?
Yes, it's been a while.
All right, well, I'm going to give you a homework assignment.
Uh-oh.
When you go home, I want you to take that bass out and play Barney Miller.
Okay, okay. I can do that.
Put it back in your fingers for a second. You know, it's funny when we stay away from our instruments. It's easy to stay away because you have other things.
It really is.
But when you pick them back up too, it's amazing what happens right away.
Yes.
There's a lot there that just resonates immediately with your body, you know, with your frame of mind. So I think it's time you pick up your bass.
Okay.
Just for a minute.
I can do that.
Cool. I appreciate that.
I'm going to do that.
Just call me on the phone afterwards. Say, I did it.
So, I picked it up and didn't let it go. So
that's right. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
So let's see. Now we're going to go back through some of those bands. One of the interesting things about the Treja Vu band, which is officially no more, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But in that band, there were a bunch of you guys, like 6 or 7 members.
We had a total of there was
core of 5, I think.
Five members. Core of 5. Yeah. Drummer. Yeah, 5 members core.
Okay.
And we would bring in if we needed an extra singer or a guitar player at the time. But other than that, it was core 5.
But in that band, everyone's birthday was in December.
Everybody's birthday was in December.
Which I thought was pretty crazy.
That was the craziest thing
ever. Which tells us you just celebrated a birthday last month.
I did, December 16th.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Another trip around the sun.
Absolutely.
So in that band, you had Mel Brown on bass.
Yes, sir.
Another badass. Well, everybody in the band. I mean, come on. How can you not?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Lamar.
Lamar Gaines.
Yeah.
Matt Goodman on drums, Tracy.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I loved it. That was, I think that was probably the funnest band
mm-hmm.
that I've ever been in. Being up there with Tracy, we just had a blast.
Yeah.
It was there was expectation, but no expectation at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It was no pressure, should mm-hmm. I say. And we just went in, they just expect you to do your job, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't hear anything else about it. You just went in and did your job, and we had a good time. And you just, man, everybody did what they did and shined.
Yeah.
So that was the funnest thing.
Yeah. When you have players at that level, even a bad day is really good.
Yes.
You know, it's always going to be good.
Absolutely.
I've been in bands where that's not the case. But it's nice when that is.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
In fact, getting back to another guy you mentioned that's in your band, D-Bass. When did you first work with D-Bass? I guess it was in Static the first time. He was already in the band.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've known him a long time as well.
I've known him, yeah. I've known D-Bass for over about, I think we said about 17 years now.
Yeah.
Well, probably a little bit more than that.
I do a John Lennon tribute show, and he was the bass player in the first incarnation of that show.
Really?
Yeah. He was great.
You know, it's crazy. I actually met D-Bass before then. He was playing at a church in Mesa.
Okay.
I didn't know who he was, but I knew he was playing. He was playing in a rock band out there.
Interesting.
And it was at Living Word Church. They had their own rock band that did their own CDs and everything.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that about him, that he had a rock background too.
Oh, yes.
Because he dug rock. He totally understood what was happening.
He really did. Yeah. He's skilled in that so much. That's why I love calling him.
Yeah.
Because whatever it is that, you know, especially if I'm doing rock or a top 40, I can count on him
mm-hmm.
to hit everything that I need. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely hits it for me. So, and I love hearing that bass sound. It's crazy because every bass player that I've had, they have their own distinct sound, of course, but they bring it in a way that you enjoy it and you don't miss it no matter what bass player you're with.
Right.
It's never missed. You're always getting the fullness. You're always getting a complete part of that bass. So I enjoy it. I love it. So, yeah, D-Bass is one of my favorite bass players to play with.
Yeah, he's rock solid, too. A lot of fun.
And a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Great guy.
Fun.
You want to have some laughs, you hang out with D-Bass.
Yeah, he's always got a big smile.
Yes, he does.
I enjoy his posts from the road. He always tends to show a little video on stage before things happen during sound check. I always kind of like that. Get to see the venue where they're working,
Absolutely.
It's kind of fun.
It's always fun. Yes.
I wanted to ask you, too, about another friend of ours who's passed not too long ago, Morris Allen.
Oh, yes.
Morris was a dear friend. Morris was kind of one of those singers that, for me, it was like, he's one of a kind. And
absolutely.
I was like, man, this kid is just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I had him on the show maybe in the first 6 months that I did it. Started like 4.5 years ago,
Wow.
So,
Morris actually, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but he performed a lot with you guys.
Yes.
Up at Blue Martini.
Yes.
So
yes,
was he an official member of Reminisce at some point?
Always.
Or? Okay.
He actually started in the band.
Okay.
I came along a little later on.
Okay.
But Morris started in the band, and when Giovanni had to go away, he was going to tour or do some things. Mm-hmm. I actually came to the band maybe 5 years in, 4 years in, and we just meshed in jail. Well, we knew each other before then as well, through church and through singing engagements and stuff like that. But when we got together, it was like no other.
Yeah, and I mean, what a character.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's in every way.
Yeah.
In every way. Either on the stage singing, you knew he was a character, or off the stage singing, just talking and just having a good time, he was a character.
Yeah, and he loved to eat.
Yes, he did.
I remember we were going to have a meeting, and he asked me if we could have it. It's Claim Jumpers. So I'm like, sure, no problem. We can meet wherever you want. And, of course, we were meeting so he could have dinner. And I wasn't going to eat anything, but it was like a TV movie, because I'm sitting there talking to him, and we're just talking business the whole time, but the whole time he's eating, but he has like two or three different things that he's just enjoying and sampling. And I thought, this is wonderful to watch, the joy.
Yes. And he's concentrating on all those things at the same time, too.
And the conversation.
Yes.
And
yes.
Passionate, powerful, really missed,
Really missed.
Yeah.
We try to honor him every Sunday that we're there. We'll do something, or a little snippet or something that we'll do, or we'll play his video or something that goes on. We actually played, we did a tribute, the video and recording that he did at your studio.
Yeah.
So we always try to represent Morris Allen every week that we're there. I will always do that. Because, I mean, the things that he's taught me, that he's helped me with, for example, is when I don't have a voice. I, for once, being an amateur at the time, you're still trying to hit those high notes and hit those
and
notes.
Cracking and hurting.
Yes, and hurting yourself.
Yeah.
And he was one of the first ones that said, hey, go to your lower range. Try this. Do something different, And I started to think.
You can ditch the power and go with a little style.
Go with a little
make
style.
Make it a little more comfortable.
Creativity.
Because you have to get through it. You have to get through it to the next day.
Absolutely.
And that's tough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, he's definitely missed. And, on a regular basis, he's missed.
Yeah.
He was Ira's best friend, too. So, he was always around the house.
He was a lot of people's best friends, I think.
That's true.
I mean, he was, everybody loved him.
You're right. You're right.
You know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's crazy, because I would hear a lot of people say, oh, yeah, he was my best friend. He's my best friend. So he made you feel that way. So that was a great thing about him.
What's funny is he one time in the studio, he called me out. It was really funny. I had been, maybe I shouldn't go to it here. I'll tell you privately. But it was really funny because, again, he was eating, and I was complaining about something, and he just called me out. And I'll share it with you. It was very funny.
Okay.
But just a character, a real character.
Yeah. Speaking of eating, he would post like cakes and cupcakes and food on. I said, I'm going to need you to stop posting all of that. I need you to stop eating all of that.
Yeah.
I need you to get better or be good. So we're going to get good. We're going to get better together.
Yeah.
And everything. But, he loved what he loved. He was a foodie. So
he really was. Yes. He really was. Well, listen, one of the things that we talked about earlier and we haven't touched on here yet is songwriting and original music. What we've been talking about is performing in all these different groups, coming up in church. You've got some incredible people you're surrounded by. But, where's the big debut album from Eric King? What's happening there?
So I'm actually glad to be on here to talk about this because I didn't share it with anybody, but I am currently working on my album.
All right.
Yes, yes. It's entitled Revelationship.
Oh, cool.
It's a revelation of having a relationship.
Okay.
So it's going to be eclectic. It's going to be a fusion of some rock and some country and some R&B and some jazz all at the same time infused in there together.
Wow.
I just want to be something different, something for the people, something new, you know, something just different from what we've been hearing.
Right.
I enjoy and love what we hear. Music is great, but I just want to bring my style and bring it in there.
Now, you say you haven't told anybody about this.
I have not.
So there's a whole lot of members of your bands that are finding out.
Right now.
So let's reassure them. Don't worry. Nothing's been tracked yet.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
You haven't been left out of this the project yet.
No.
So you're just in the songwriting phase.
In the writing phase, yes.
And how many cuts do you kind of have put together?
Right now, I have a total of 6 cuts right now. I'm looking to get about 16. I want to hit about 16 tracks.
Okay, that's gonna be a big record.
Yes,
big project.
You know, and since you went to back in the day,
I know back in the day, I know, isn't that cool?
Yes.
And since you went to CRAS, the Recording Arts and Sciences School, you're gonna tackle this yourself. You're gonna track it at home, and
I'm gonna have some help.
Okay.
I got some great guys that are going to help out.
I know a place where Irish drums sound great. So.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there. You know, I'm calling you.
We'll bring him in and cut the drum tracks anyway.
Yes. It's going to be a variety of people, including yourself, which I was going to talk to you about.
Yeah, I'd be honored to be involved.
Yeah. Ronnie Jones is going to help out with that.
Cool.
He doesn't know it, but he's going to help out with that. Cool. He actually knows already.
That's very cool.
Yeah. But it's going to be, I have actually some guys out in Detroit. Sing and play for Charlie Wilson.
Okay.
And I'll be flying out to Detroit to do some stuff with them and laying some tracks as well.
Yeah, you could probably reach out to a handful of cool people in the business who would be happy to come on to the project.
Yes. It's going to be fun. I'm going to take my time and we're going to make this right.
Yeah.
We're going to make this right. I really want it to be right. It's got to be right. Otherwise, I can't put it out.
Yeah. What's the point?
Right,
just like we were saying before, you know, I used to always try and explain that to groups when they would come into the studio and say, you know, we want to make the best record in the world, but we only have this much money. And it's kind of like, I know, well, that you can't do it for the kind of money you guys are trying to spend. So
right.
I would try and talk them into buying T-shirts and sell them to raise more money. You know, I mean, don't waste your money. Any studio is going to take it and you're going to have a crappy record because you can't make a great record in that budget.
Absolutely.
You know, different people. Different story, but it's important to understand that there's that constraint. I think the most important thing is if you do cut corners and you don't get it right, you'll never forget what you spent trying to get it done.
Absolutely.
But if you get it right and it serves you well, because it will, you'll never remember it, that won't even come across your mind what you spent because it's working for you.
It's working.
You know, it's got to be right, and that's. I always tell artists, if you hand it out with a bunch of excuses, like, well, we didn't have a lot of time for this, or it wasn't mastered, or, you know, we couldn't get the guy we wanted to mix it.
Hand it out.
Don't hand it out.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You have to give excuses before they even hear it.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Because that tells me that you're telling me I don't want to listen to this right now. I'm going to put it back down. You know?
It was rushed. It wasn't the product that you wanted.
Yeah, so I think you don't want to hand it out until... When you know when you hand it out, you got a smile on your face because you know what they're going to feel when they hear it.
Absolutely.
That's all you, if you can do that, then you cross that line.
Absolutely. You know? And that's what we're going for.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I'm going. What I'm
going for. Well, I'm excited.
So I
imagine you don't have a timeline on that.
Not right now, no.
Not right now. We're way too far away from that.
I'm filling it out right now.
So. But you're probably hoping that sometime this summer you'll be getting some tracks cut.
Yes. I do, you know, once I get the right single out, I will put out a single.
Okay.
Here and there and start to build on it and everything, but it's got to be the right one.
Yeah.
It's got to tell the story.
Deadlines are good, though.
Deadlines are good.
Especially
I'm going to set some deadlines, yes.
Because without deadlines, man, we can take forever.
Absolutely.
To do anything.
You're right. And I found myself actually getting busy, like I said, in 8 or 9 bands, also with the Lucky Devils band as well.
Oh, right.
I sing with, and I find myself getting busy doing that type of stuff. And taken away from my writing and producing and engineering, those types of things. So, but I'm setting some time. That's what COVID pandemic did for me, is bring me back to myself and say, hey, I'm going to set some time here and actually build and write my stuff.
When you write, do you have a process, or is it just melodies pop in your head and you sing them on your phone? I mean, where does it start for you?
It always varies. I actually wrote a song for my sister. She had a CD out in 2009, and it was a gospel CD. I was in the grocery store, and okay. I was going to the frozen food section. I'll never forget, and I forgot my basket. So I went back to grab my basket, and I started singing, I take my basket along with me. My basket. Along with me. And I was like, oh, I like this. I take my Jesus along with me. So we put that on her song. Uh-huh. You know, it's just, it depends. I never know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I may get the hook first. I may get the chorus. I may get the beat first.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wrote a song just hearing a drip from, or actually hearing the signal, waiting to turn.
Oh, okay. Right. Right.
And I was like, so I've started to build on that, and I added to it and everything. It was, I mean, you just never know. And sometimes I get the lyrics
yeah.
that come first. So
yeah.
whatever comes, I allow it to come however it wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just bring it to me. That's all I ask.
Now, when you play, is bass the only instrument that you're playing, musical instrument, besides drums, which I can't call them not a musical instrument. But
yeah.
Do you play piano at all?
I play a little bit of keys, not
so
much.
Do you sit at a keyboard when you like to write?
I sit
for structuring
yeah.
chords? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. I actually got an acoustic guitar, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm teaching myself how to play the acoustic guitar. But yeah, I'll sit down at the keys and just kind of map out where I want it. And then I'll bring in a real keyboard player to actually build it in or make it fuller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I love that. I have that instinct to be able to do that. Of course, growing up in the church and growing mm-hmm. up around all of these musical people, I kind of gravitated to it.
How about horns? Gonna put some real horns on the record?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's crazy. In grade school, I used to play the saxophone. Tenor saxophone.
Okay.
I was in the marching band.
Right.
And crazy thing, I had the tenor sax, but in marching band, I actually marched with the baritone sax.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had the heaviest saxophone out there marching. But, yeah, I got to have real horns. I want real everything.
Yeah.
I don't want any, you know, it's got to be real.
Yeah.
It's got to be real.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yes.
And there's a lot of cool horn arrangers in town, too. You can get some decent lines written if you're not comfortable doing that yourself.
And but, I was going to talk to you about it.
Tell me.
Want to actually do a couple of them live.
Yeah.
So
oh, cool.
I know you have your live show, so
yeah.
maybe we could
talk
about this.
Oh, man, Eric, you can be on my show anytime you want. You just you pick the Wednesday, and we'll put you on the show.
Okay, Otto.
Absolutely.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I'd be honored. I'd be absolutely honored. Whitney Jones is a singer
yes.
in town, and we're working on her second record. And I think her pregnancy with her new baby derailed our schedule for a little while, and then I think the holidays hit again and kind of derailed again. It's really difficult. She had a huge concert in the beginning of December
yes.
that she had to prepare for.
Yes.
And she wanted to have her record done by then, but it kind of slowed her down. But I think now the new year has come, and she'll probably be gearing back up again. But and the reason I mentioned her, I can't even remember now, except the fact that she's another one of these great, great singers.
Well,
she was going to be on the show as well. That's what it was.
I call her my sister.
Yeah.
You know, we actually celebrate the holidays together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her husband is
yeah.
my best friend.
Oh, okay.
And my brother. So yeah. we've gone through a lot. We went to grade school together.
Cool.
So, those are my people. That's my family.
Yeah, and they are great people. We love them.
They really
more.
Are. I love them so much.
Yeah, they're sweet. And she's one of a kind, too.
She really is.
Producer, writer, singer, arranger. I mean, she's really got her act together.
Her voice is out of this world.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the things she can do.
Yeah.
It's fun when we all get together and have. So I'm actually going to have her help as well, and
yeah.
we're going to help her on her CD as well.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So much going on, man. Speaking of so much going on, what else is going on? We've got a record that you're going to be working on down the line. You're going to be playing. So upcoming gigs are essentially this week.
This week, upcoming gigs, of course, Friday at the Blue Martini with the Neon Band. Great band. That band, I've grown to love country music a lot more in that band.
So that's a country band?
Well, it's not a country. They actually do all types.
They do a bit of country,
though. They do rock. They do country. They do more country than I've ever seen any other band do,
right.
which is great. But they do everything from top 40, rock, R&B. They do it all.
Right.
They're very eclectic. They're they have a variety of styles going on, and I love the band. I love the people in the band.
Yeah.
They're so grounded and rooted and just relaxed and chilled, but we have a good time when we get together.
Very cool.
Yes. Nick and Christine Rizzo.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that is coming up. Did you say... I forgot.
Yeah,
Thursday?
Friday night. Friday night. Every Friday night, we're at Blue Martini.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that band is there from 8 to 11.
Okay, and then Reminisce is going to be up there on Sunday.
Reminisce is there on Sundays.
Sunday.
I have to say, that's out of all the bands, that's the band I thoroughly enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I get to sing with my sister mm-hmm. on stage and my brother's on the drums. He actually sings on the drums.
Yeah.
So we have a three-part harmony going on. And that dude, Ira, can actually sing higher than myself and my sister. Yeah, he sings the highest at all.
He doesn't show that off a lot.
He doesn't. Just if you've come on, he's actually led some songs. He led Bustin' Loose. I feel like Bustin' Loose. He leads some songs actually on. We're going to get him to lead some more songs too. So you got to come check him out, man.
Yeah, I will. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I love it. So, yeah, we're building that venue. Of course, we've been there. They've been there for 9 years. November of this year will be 10 years
Wow.
that the band has been there. I'm trying to have a big bash, big party, bring in some of the celebrities that have come in, because we always get different artists, different celebrities that come in and sing with us. You know, people like CC Peniston, of course, and Keith Washington, Adina Howard, people like that. They come in all the time. So I want to have them come back. Rebecca Jade, oh my God, artist is bad. She's actually from San Diego. She sings with Sheila E.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing Dave Kahn's tribute.
See, now Sheila's sax player is Eddie Mendenfield.
Oh,
Eddie's
yeah.
a dear friend of mine who we always, when we said horns, I'm thinking, well, I wonder if I'll get Eddie in here. So there's all these different guys we could.
Small yeah. world, I'm telling you. Yeah. I love this. I love this.
And of course, you know, CC Peniston, that was my first gold record. I did finally
really?
That album. Yeah.
Wow.
So I met her when she was just a kid.
Yeah.
Without a hit song. And had the opportunity to watch that whole thing go and be a big part of that on the
wow.
first album. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's part of the family too.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. We've Reminisce actually used to back her up.
Uh-huh.
Used to sing and play for her.
Cool.
Different places. So yeah, it's always fun.
There's been a lot of big talent out of this town. It's kind of funny how the rock and roll crowd blew up out of Tempe, you know, the Gin Blossoms and everybody.
Yes.
About the same time that the R&B crowd was blowing up, but they didn't mix club-wise
right.
or scene-wise at the time. And so it's like if you talk to the guys who know the rock bands, they didn't know that CC Peniston and Dina Howard and Malaika and all these artists were popping and, you know, on the R&B side.
Yes.
And they didn't know all these rock bands were getting signed on the
right.
rock side. It's like this town was just going to both ends, you know.
It was crazy. That's why I love Arizona.
It was a wild town.
I love Phoenix so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's so much music here,
yeah,
so much culture here,
yeah.
And you can go anywhere and get something, like you say, you can get that rock,
yeah,
or you can come get the R&B with us, you know. So it's I love that.
Yeah, and then over at Handlebar J in Scottsdale, you've got the Herndon Brothers, and half of those guys, like Ray Tours with Lyle Lovett, and used to be in a band in the 90s
yes.
called McBride and the Ride. They had a bunch of hit records. Now they're back out again, you know, because the 90s are hot again, so they're
yes.
touring again.
Yes.
So, I mean, you've got, and the rest of the band are all session guys. Glenn Campbell's former drummer and Gary Brazzisi, and just a killing band. So I can go in there and go, I can't believe I can see this for free.
Yes.
You know, same thing coming up seeing you guys. I mean, it's like jaw-dropping to see that kind of talent out.
It's awesome.
It's
amazing to me. You know, it's crazy. I didn't realize how important it was to have what we have going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And my break at Blue Martini, I would go around and just make sure everybody, you know, do the whole customer service
yeah.
thing and just talk to people and just see how they were doing. But the response that they would give, especially this past Sunday, it made me realize how important it is to have each and every band that we have here and have it to its fullest. Put everything that we can into this music thing and give a great show,
mm-hmm.
entertain the people because they need that.
Yeah.
Music heals.
Yeah, it does.
It heals so much. One of the biggest things I tell people all the time, when my mother passed, we all, after she passed away, we all went to our gigs and played.
Mm-hmm.
And when same thing 2 years later, when my dad passed, he passed at home. They picked them up. Everybody went to their gigs, and we played, and then we met up after our gig, and we met up at Shar's. That's where Ira
mm-hmm.
was. He was the last one, and we just sang and had a good time over there. Music heals.
Yeah.
I love every bit of it. So We need it.
Yeah, we really do. And not just as performers, but I mean, just as the audience too. There's
absolutely,
especially since the pandemic. Anytime you go to a show, the people are so appreciative.
Yes,
and they'll tell you they're just happy that they can hear music again.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
I don't think we appreciated from the stage how much we were appreciated.
Right.
Until now, we experience the absence they express.
Absolutely.
Because we still had music. We can still play our instrument, you know.
Yes, yes,
but
yes.
They really didn't have music.
They didn't at all. They didn't. So, yeah. You hear that a lot, even now. You know, what a year later, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm hearing music again. I love it. Thank you, appreciate it. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's pretty crazy.
It's so important. It is so important.
Hey man, we're running up on the end of the hour.
Oh wow,
it's been crazy.
Wow,
time flies.
Yes, it does, man.
Well, you're in 9 bands, so that's, you know, there's a lot to talk about there. You got a record coming up.
Yes.
Which was called Revelationship.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
That's a great title. Love that.
Yes, sir.
And if anybody wants to see Eric, head out to Blue Martini Friday or Sunday.
Friday or Sunday. We start at 8 o'clock on Fridays and 9 on Sundays.
See if you can hire him to do something. You guys got a great voice. All right, man. Listen, thanks for coming in. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Otto. Thank you.
I'm going to try and get up there and see you this weekend or next.
Come on out.
All right. See you there.
All right.
And thank you all for listening to The Otto D. Show. Welcome to 2022.